So we reach the final, the finale. They're opening up the house door and going, yes, summer's over. Back to work Monday. Yeah, all Tuesday. Yeah, bank holiday. But this past 6 weeks, we've explored Paul's missionary journeys in a bit depth. The idea of holidays, holiday destinations, when you look at Paul's missionary journeys, they're all very popular holiday and tourist destinations in 21st century Earth. However, every holiday has a conclusion, a final day on the beach, a final swim, or parting of words to friends you've made along the way. The conclusion of the Apostle Paul's missionary journey is holiday, if we could dare call it that, to share the gospel. He is similar to Jesus, a long journey. Jesus had the long journey from where he started in ministry to Jerusalem, to the cross. The Apostle Paul from Jerusalem to Damascus and then to Rome. A journey without problems. Yeah, right. It had a broken ship. Someone kept trying to stop him. Yeah, and sounded a bit like the devil in every way. They kept going. I do dislike the end of things, an end of a movie, TV series, an end of a book. However, Jesus knows things do come to an end, but it doesn't. Jesus' mission has not ended. It won't end until he returns. Jesus gave the parting words, preach the gospel to every nation. Paul, similar way, he encourages us to continue preaching the gospel, even to those that don't want to hear, those that don't want to see. So, what can we do? I'm going to feel like a bit school teacherish now. Away we start the new term as Christians, going to the new term of work, school, and business is to smile. Come Christmas, you'll probably be half smile. But after Easter, thinking, yep, and summer's coming now. But 3 points I want to make this morning as we. That can encourage us as Christians to go into the new term. To build relationships. Sounds like a book now. First one is preach or speak life. In life, we have two options. Either preach or speak life. In other words, be encouraging with the words you say. Or preach where you say, you will be saved. Otherwise, you're damned. Yeah, Jesus doesn't want that. He wants us to encourage. He just wants to speak life. That's what Paul does so well. He just speaks life to everyone. He's not shoving the gospel down someone's throat, as tempting as it can be some days. But sometimes it's better to know just to whet their appetite. Go. Oh, why are you doing this weekend? Oh, I'm going to church. That'll whet their appetite. Sometimes we want to know what happens on the next page, and that's what we need as to do as Christians. Get them wanting to know what happens next. As I sit down, as I normally do when I think about sermon and what God wants me to say, sometimes I listen to a song from Speak Life by Toby Mac. And in song, it just goes on how Christians do put people down and we do not think about the implications of life. However, if we say something that lights a spark, that spark can start something that great in their lives. As we've discovered, Paul's first job each time he arrived in a new place was go to the synagogue. When synagogue rejects him, he goes to marketplace. It goes to where the people are. God wants us to go where people are. He wants us to meet people where they are. And the ingredient is to listen. I actually went online and typed in statistics of people listening to different denominations. I've said Baptist came out as in top ranking, surprisingly. Methodist number 2, Salvation Army number 3. But they were all bound joint tied for first place. So, but as Christians, we just need to love those around us. We need to respond to those who need support emotionally, physically, spiritually. If someone's having a hard day or a hard time, just listen. If you feel God saying, go and speak to that person, respond. As Christians, we can have our thoughts on what it is the best thing to do. Sometimes it's best not to run away, but just to speak encouragement. Just a question, if you were given the choice to give a final speech before you died, what would you say? How would you want people to remember you? What would you want them to say? I do hope and pray that you would say something about God's goodness, that you would encourage people to remember what you did, sharing God's goodness, rather than being goody Mr. Two-Shoe Christian. Which leads to next point. Listen to God. Hard thing listening, isn't it? The definition in the dictionary is to give one's attention to a sound. Very basic definition, isn't it? Very often we can switch off from a sound and not give attention. And that is when trouble often occurs. A classic example being Jonah. Didn't listen to God. He thought he knew better. He thought, if I go to Tarshish rather than Nineveh, God can't see me in Tarshish. It's on the other side of the world. Boy, was he wrong. Things got a bit fishy. An example of someone listening, however, John. He listened to Jesus, did not argue. Peter, he argued even though he listened. Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, listened. I do wonder if Judas Iscariot will be in heaven. And if he is, that's brilliant, because he listened. And all these people listened, even though they might argue, not argue, cause betrayal. They all did God's will as part of the salvation plan. The Apostle Paul listened to the concerns of people. He delivered messages which were listened to. And as any preacher or evangelist will tell you, you get a mixed response from people. People who were comfortable and just like, yeah, I could listen to this every week. And those uncomfortable. As a church, we have journeyed. And again this summer, if you remember last summer's series, we did journeys again, road trips, days at beach. I love days at beach. It's rained, it's good old British weather outside. Yeah, it's lovely. And I remembered one of the kids' comment at the end of last summer, I enjoyed this holiday. In the next few weeks, upon a suggestion from a member from church meeting, we're going to spend a few weeks just looking at the identity and calling of FCBC. We are going to consider what kind of church we are, the direction in which we're going. The series will be taken by a leader each week. The leader will be focusing on an area and have choice to make it interactive, non-interactive, as they feel fit. But the condition we will all be doing each and every week is listen to God. It was the best decision I've made, listening to God. And I hope and pray it's the best decision you ever made, listening to God. Isaiah the prophet said, go tell this people and they will hear, but never understand. Your hearts have become callous. They do not listen. Having grown up and being surrounded by children, they do sometimes do not listen. Even when you have adult children, sometimes they do not listen. And it just has the same consequences as, because to every action, there's a reaction. It's basic physics. Got a thumbs up from Dad. I'm never sure if it's physics or chemistry. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. But it does sometimes feel like God is saying, stop being childish. Paul, in his letter to Corinthians, said, when I was a child, I did childish things. I hit that boy who took my toy. I went and thought, oh, that girl looks pretty. I did everything a child would do. Then became man. Put away childish things. Thought, do you know what, God, you're going to lead me in each way. And finally, the most popular quote from Paul, keep running the race. A quote I found online, life is not it's a race, not a stroll. It's a series of sprints, stops and starts, highs and lows, and a million other scenarios. I think we should have that on the website. I found this quote to be very interesting because it is true. Another common saying is slow and steady wins the race. Yes, it does. If we walk through life, we might find ourselves stuck more often than not. But if we just take that race, not strolled through life, but just ran it, just that little bit more precision, we'd get on well. Paul's closing comments in Acts, God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles and they will listen. That's the gist of it. He knows God's got a plan for the Jews. He knows that the Jews are his chosen people, the one, and they will see Jesus. They will see Jesus when he returns. Salvation has been given through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As Christians, more often than not, we will have our moments of pausing and reflections. We as a church will look back and think, God was really running alongside us. He was going, come on, 10 more miles, 5 more miles, 4 more miles, 1 more mile, 2 yards, come on. We can really look forward to it. We look forward to having a crown in glory when we enter glory, or in the words of salvation, I mean, promoted to glory. I like that, promotion to glory. It's a lovely concept, idea, because yes, okay, our earthly bodies die, but our soul will be promoted. Paul so often looked forward to that promotion. After all the rubbish he gave to the Christians when the church first started, I have to say, I do look forward to Paul. And even better, just like Paul, I look forward to seeing my Saviour face to face, as I know you all do. Jesus loves us and wants us to do our best. He doesn't say, go be perfect, don't sin. Just said, do your best. What's worse that can happen? You might fall, you might cry, but just do your best. I cannot claim that I myself am perfect. I'm put up my hand and say, yes, yeah, okay, I lie, I sin. And I'm sure none of you can put up your hand and say you're perfect. But something we can all say, even if our lives are short, long, what a blessing it is to wake up each morning. What a blessing it is to wake up, smile, and just do your best. And as you lay down your head to rest, just think about how you spoke, how you reacted. God understands frustrations in life, and we can all feel, but he just wants us to react calmly. He just wants us to let off steam. That's why we have family members that listen to us, husbands, wives, sons, daughters. They all listen. So just to conclude this morning, what is it that you've enjoyed about this journey? As a church, I do feel like we are closing a small yet significant chapter. As we go through our identity and calling, we're going to see so many wonderful things. That's my view of it. And yes, Jesus is at centre. He's always has been at centre. I look at the cross and just think, yes, I deserve to be on that cross. But Jesus took that step. He said, you don't need to do it, I'll do it. That's love. That's what holiday is about. It's we just reflect. We can reset our batteries. We can just say, God, giving it all to you today. I'm giving every second I breathe to you. That's what grace is about. That's what love is about. That's what hope and faith is about. Before we come to time of communion, just going quickly pray before we enter time of communion. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this holiday we've had. We know that we're not perfect. We don't even deserve to be perfect or have the opportunity. But what you did on the cross was more significant, better than anything that we could ever do. And as we come to time of reflection, just pray, Lord, that you will continue being at the center of our lives. We pray this in your holy and almighty name. Amen.